Ever feel like you've got to get your should together?
Is your should about to hit the fan?
Have you been sitting in your shoulds for most of your life wondering if you could be more, see more, or do more? Welcome to Shut the Should Up with Candace Payne
and Jenny Randall. We're both authors and speakers who want to stomp out your flaming bag of should.
With a whole lot of faith, together, let's sort through the pain, purpose, and promise to find freedom in the things we tell ourselves we should and should not do.
Because there's so much more in you.
Welcome to the Summer Heat series
summer
here
heat.
On Just the Should Up. We are so excited that you're joining us in season five. We are wrapping up season five soon, but we couldn't let you go without giving you some powerhouse interviews with some incredible people that we wanted to invite so that it could just get you fired up for your summer months, maybe your vacation time. You've got a little bit more time to listen to a podcast out on the beach, sipping a mocktail, enjoying the waves, whatever you're choosing to do. Mine is always imagine the beach while I'm with an inflatable pool that I can put my ankles in. You know, that's where I'm living. But Jenny, tell us about who we've got joining us today.
All right. Dr. Jamie Morgan has served as a senior pastor, evangelist, conference speaker, and mentor. In her decades of ministry, she has witnessed this troubling trend. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready. Always.
Okay. Countless numbers of Christian women almost answer their callings, almost use their gifts and talents to build the kingdom, and almost fulfill their destinies. So let's bring her in, and she's going to get us past this almost to actually doing. Let's welcome Dr. Jamie Morgan to Shut the Show Up.
Thank you, Jenny, and thank you, Candace, for having me on your show. I honor both of you, mighty women of God. Thank you for everything you do for the Lord.
Ooh, well, you're just a little
fire.
You're a firecracker. I know. We all need your firecrackiness in our lives. Okay, so I just gave them a one-sentence bio of your ministry experience. Can you expand on that for our listeners so they can know where you're coming from and where you've pulled this material from for your new book, Her Calling?
Absolutely. I began in the ministry as a teacher of the word. And then I was an evangelist. I went from church to church doing evangelism training seminars, teaching Christians how to win souls, imparting a passion for souls in the hearts of God's people. And then God opened a door for me to be a senior pastor. I was senior pastor of an Assemblies of God church here in New Jersey for 15 years. I was the first female Assemblies of God senior pastor in the New Jersey district of the Assemblies of God. They really didn't know what
Jersey
to do with me.
that's a congregation for you right there.
There's a congregation. I live in New Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia. I've been a prophetic voice. I'm a writer. I do all kind of things. But about 2 years ago, I began feeling the grace lifting from pastoring. You know, we do everything we do by the grace of God. I mean, we know that, but when it begins to lift, do you know, you do everything by the grace of God. And at the same time, I felt another grace descending. And so for a while, I describe it like I felt like I was tumbling down Niagara Falls in a barrel, not knowing which end was up. Transition is a difficult season. So I'm like, God, what is it you've called me to do? I can feel the grace for pastoring lifting. What is this grace I can feel descending? And the Lord gave me, he encountered me in a powerful way. He gave me a vision. And in the vision, I saw this harvest field. It was the most lush, lavish harvest field I had ever seen. It went on as far as the eye could see. And then part two of the vision, God zoomed in. You know, you can zoom in with your video camera or your iPhone, you zoom in. And I saw this particular harvest field. And in this part two of the vision, I saw these round black discs placed intermittently in the harvest field. And I said, Lord, what? They were about the size of a baseball base. And I said, Lord, what are they? And the Lord said, those are placeholders. for laborers that I have placed in the harvest field. I placed them there before the foundation of the world. And he said, as you can see, most remain vacant. And he said, these are the words he spoke to me. He said, the hour is urgent and I need all hands on deck, both male and female, to take their place in the end time harvest of souls. And he said, I have called you to identify, to gather, to mobilize and mentor women that have a call of God on their lives, to take their place in the harvest field. And even for seasoned ministers, women ministers that have been doing ministry for decades, to help her walk in the fullness of her call. Because my experience has been most women are not walking in their call because of support, lack of mentorship. Mentors for men are difficult to find, but for women, they are scarce. And women, and so many women that I talk to that are seasoned ministers will say, you know, I've been in the ministry for decades, but I know there's more. I know there's more. I know there's more that God has called me to do. So I wrote the book, Jenny and Candace, that I wished had been written decades ago when I was launched into the ministry. Deeply spiritual things, extremely practical things like traveling ministry. How do you do traveling ministry? What do you do when this happens? To what to do in the waiting room of God's promises, to how to recover from ministry hurts, how to recover from betrayals, and how to recover from how to deal with Jezebel and Absalom and all the different things that you encounter in the ministry. So basically this book, Her Calling, is a mentor in a book. If I mentored a woman of God for a few years, this between the covers of this book is what I would say.
Yeah. Well, you're now pastoring leaders through your resources. I mean, I was reading it yesterday. I couldn't get my highlighter out fast enough. Something you wrote that I've highlighted. Okay. And this was for the women. I'm sorry if you've heard altar calls for vocational ministry addressed only to men. I'm sorry if no one has cared enough to check on your ministry pulse. Like I was just like, oh, she's the one we all do. You're like mama bearing this younger generation and those seasoned, like you said, to rise up and go with a boldness towards what they're called for. And it's really an important mandate. So I'm excited you're stepping into this, and we're newer friends, but just to see you launch your program and build it and the momentum that God has through this book and your program is just really impactful. So thank you for doing what you're doing.
Thank you. I appreciate your words of encouragement. I started off the book, as you said, apologizing. You know, I have like almost half of the first chapter is an apology, because somebody has to apologize. Somebody has to say, I'm so sorry for every person that calls themselves a theologian that has hurled these two stones at us, women in ministry. You can't be in the ministry because, you know, First Timothy says, you know, they're like, I describe it like they call themselves, let's say an expert on Disney World, and they've only visited the stroller rental and the hot dog stand, but yet they're experts on all things Disney World. Like, it's the full counsel of God. And so I say to the women in my book, let somebody needs to apologize. Let it be me. I'll stand that for those that should be saying, I am so sorry.
Yeah. And as I was reading it, it just was like this gut punch of like, I feel seen. This validation of like, okay, yep. You understand it and you get it. And so thank you for stewarding this really important message. I'm already like knee deep in like the highlighter and just like, oh gosh, she's mentoring my soul and I need it. We all need it. Whether in ministry or not, we need this mothering.
You know, the thing that I was reminded of when you were explaining your vision to us was Romans 8:19. And I had to go look it up really quick, but I kept on thinking about this verse as you were talking. And it says, for creation eagerly waits the anticipation for God's sons and daughters to be revealed. And you were saying that these discs were waiting for somebody to stand out in the middle of the harvest. And I do think that you are calling out with the things that you're inspiring people to do is to step into the things that God's saying, we're waiting for you to be revealed. We're waiting for the children of God to step up and show us what a child of God looks like and his word looks like, and to teach us. And this word almost feels so debilitating and so freeing at sometimes, because you think, oh, well, then maybe I have some potential there. But I want to ask you a baseline question. What steps should women take to discover God's calling for them?
Yeah, that is such a good question. And I would say the very first thing that you need to do is you need to rip off the rearview mirror of your past. Mm. Mm-hmm. That's the very first thing. That's because good. I hear so many women say, you know, I don't know how God can use me with the past that I have, or wow, I feel so unworthy, or, well, you know, it's not about you, sister. It's about the worth of Jesus. And you know what? Wow. I mean, we all have a past. I was born again at 26. I lived in the world from 0 to 26. I was a raging alcoholic and agoraphobic. Mm. I couldn't leave my house because of panic attacks and anxiety attacks, and wow, cried out to a God that I didn't know. And he revealed Jesus to me. And in that moment, my past was thrown into the sea of forgetfulness when I said, forgive me, Lord. And I said, Lord, take this messed up girl, and if you can do anything with her life, I ask you to do it. And he did and is. we're all these works in progress. But that's the first step, is, you know, what? God wants to use you no matter what past you have. The second thing I would say is to take a look at passion signposts. Now, my experience has been, you know, there's a difference between a good idea and a God idea. So we all get these good ideas, right? We're excited about this good idea. I'm going to do this or that. And then like 2 weeks later, we're not excited anymore. You know, to me, good ideas wane with time. But when something is a God idea, when you get this glimpse of what, you know, a passion that God has given you, and it won't go away. Like you can even go back and see that passion. I mean, even when you were a child, I can remember coming home from school, and I had such a passion in my heart to teach. I thought it was to be a school teacher, but here it was the teacher of the word. And I got my cat Sheba, and I dressed her in a little doll dress, and I stuffed her in my the baby doll high chair. Let me tell you, and I taught her literally I'd spend 3 hours after school every day teaching her multiplication tables. Listen, she knew how to write her own name. She knew her alphabet. She knew, let me tell you, the smartest cat that ever lived. But that was looking back sometimes, even at when we were little girls, what was it we were passionate about that somewhere along the way, it got snuffed out? You know, passion signposts can be anything from what grieves you. Think about Nehemiah.
How did Nehemiah
receive his call? He was grieved by the condition of, you know, his beloved Israel, by the you know, and got the mandate to rebuild the wall. Sometimes it's what makes you angry. Like maybe what makes you angry is something you're called to remediate, or what makes you cry. Maybe it's something you're called to heal, but not something that wanes, but something you just can't get away from. Another thing is to assess your gifts and talents. To say, okay, what is it? What has God deposited inside of me? Gifts and talents, whether they be practical gifts and talents or spiritual gifts, whatever that is. And I would take it a step further. After you do a self-reflection of what gifts and talents God has given you, ask people closest to you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can't see in ourselves. We're like, really? You see that in me? And ask them, what do you see in me? What gifts and talents do you see? And then the other thing I would say is dust off dreams that God has given you. Maybe visions, maybe prophetic words over the years that maybe at this time, up until this point, hasn't come to pass. Kind of look at those things. Or maybe you were reading the Bible and you received a rhema word where the word of God just kind of lifted off the page. I have a notebook that I bought as a new believer. It's like this 3-ring school, you know, notebook. And I have every prophetic word, every dream, every revelation that God has given me over these 33 years of following Jesus. And so many times I'll go back and say, wow, what you spoke to me 10 years ago, like when the grace started to lift off pastoring, I went back in that journal. And there was a lady that came to my women's retreat 10 years before. And she said, I see you, the Lord is showing me you and your ministry, Jamie, and I see 10 calendars on the wall. And, you know, like yearly calendars, the Lord told me, go back and reread that word, because it was confirmation 10 years before that of what God was called out of. And so really what I do is I help women, and this is in my book, create a ministry map where you take all of these things. You have a poster board in front of you, and you take all these things, the gifts, the talents, the prophetic words, the dreams, the what makes you cry, what makes you, what grieves you, what makes you angry, all the different things, and put it together, and you can begin to see the hand of God, the call of God being weaved throughout the different seasons of your life. It's a really, I would suggest that every woman do it, maybe take a personal retreat. And take my book, Her Calling, with you, and do a ministry map, and just allow the Holy Spirit to just show you, see, like, let the Holy Spirit help you connect the dots.
Yeah.
Can we summarize and go back and just hit those points again? So I'm trying to do it from memory because my ADHD is all over the place. It's on fire right now. But I think I remember you said, remove the rear view.
Right.
Don't let your past limit you. Number two, I think you said that you're supposed to find out what your passion signposts are. Is that correct, Jenny? You took notes. I see you nodding your head.
I'm so into it.
That's correct.
Passion signposts. And then find out your talents and your gifting. And then lastly, you said dust off your dreams. And I think here's the thing that's, you know, 43 years old, you feel like you're learning just a little bit. You're scratching the surface of some wisdom now. You know, you hit that little hump and you're like, oh, now I need to apply the things I've learned, right? Once you hit 40, you're like, okay, now I can do this. The thing that I love about what you said, without really jumping direct to that point, was your gifts and your talents, find out what you think other people see in you that you're gifted and talented at. And then I would love to challenge this thought and add this and ask what you think about it, Dr. Morgan. Mm-hmm. Are your talents and gifts really supposed to guide what you're doing, or are they supposed to aid what you're doing? Because the older I get, the more I'm realizing that my talents and my gifts, just because I'm a good singer or songwriter, doesn't mean that I need to be on American Idol. Doesn't mean that I need to be on The Voice and that's my calling. But right. I tell you what they can do is they can aid in the passions. They can be tools to help me with the things that God's putting as a calling. I think this generation behind us, I have a 14-year-old daughter right now. All that she's trying to do is find out what she's good at. What am I good at? That's what I need to do with my life, you know? And then you think of the grandest thing you can do with your gifts. And then that becomes my calling. And I really just want to be somebody that cries out in the wilderness. Your gifts, your skills are to aid in what you are called to do.
Yeah, you're not absolutely to be the right, full Candace. Calling. You're absolutely right. Your gifts before you step into your call are signposts. Once you step into your call, they aid your calling. But there's a difference between anointing and gifting.
There you go.
Yeah. See, God can anoint. Yeah. God can anoint a 16-year-old teenage boy to do nursing home ministry, and he doesn't have any idea how an elderly person struggles because he's 16. He can anoint an 80-year-old woman to do motorcycle ministry. To win the souls of a motorcycle gang, and she's never ridden a motorcycle, nor can she relate to anything that they're going through. God anoints who he anoints, and we see the life of David in the Old Testament, that everybody discounted David. I mean, you know, his father brought out all the for the American Idol audition, like you said, Candace.
Right.
His father brought out all the sons he thought, well, they're kingly. Yeah. And maybe they were gifted kingly, but Samuel's like, nope, that's not the one. And then, you got any more? Well, there is that one, you know, out in the sheep in the pasture. And so you're absolutely right. There's a huge difference between anointing and gifting. And gifting does aid and guide and assist, but it's not the whole ball of wax. The whole ball of wax is, what has God anointed you to do? These are just some signposts to putting them all together that can point you in the direction. You know, a gold miner, when he, back in gold mining days, when they dig, they used to start digging. They would just dig, they would dig somewhere, like somewhere where they thought maybe there was gold. And then they would continue to dig. And then maybe they saw like a glimmer or like a little glimpse of, could that be a gold nugget? And then they would go in that direction. But you have to start somewhere. And I always say, you're never going to find your call with a remote control in one hand and a tub of popcorn in the other, binge watching Netflix. Now, listen, I'm all about popcorn. I am like a movie theater popcorn addict, seriously. But it's when we actually step out, we seek the Lord in prayer, but as we're seeking God in prayer, God, what am I called to do? We are stepping out and trying this and serving in that. And pastor, you know, where is there a need? You know, and for years I did children's ministry. Like, and that's not my ultimate calling. My ultimate calling is to adults. But you know what? There were just some things those two-year-olds in the baby nursery needed to teach me. Like faithfulness when I didn't want to show up. Like a servant's heart. Like treating each person, no matter how young, no matter how, maybe it wasn't in my skill set, but treating them like they were going to be the next Billy Graham or the next Amy McPherson. And learning how to rely on 100% on the Lord when I didn't have it, like when it isn't in my gifting. And we never want to leave that place of total reliance on Jesus.
Wow. Wow. Well, one thing that stood out to me in your book was when you started serving in your local church, you didn't go bulldozing in with, these are my gifts, this is my resume, I'm ready to go preach, put me on the stage. You went in with this humble, low approach of, where do you need me to serve? Where are there gaps in ministry here? And you wrote, you were baking cookies and you don't really love baking. Like, you were doing all these things.
I'm not domestic. Every time I ever vacuumed or made dinner, Jesus, deliver me.
Same. I'm like, if someone has a new baby, I'm like, let me just send you some pizza because this is where we're at. Like, but you went in, you go in so humbly of like, I'm just here to serve. Yeah. Whatever vision the Lord has put on the pastor of my local church, and I'm just gonna go after that. And God honors that and expands your vision as you serve those that you're called, that you're placed under in that season. Is there anything you want to expand on with what I'm bringing up?
Yeah, I want to say that is so true. I have, when I was a senior pastor, I would have various ones maybe graduate from Bible college and they have their degree, and praise God, I'm all about degrees. I have several degrees, but they would say, Pastor Jamie, now you need to give me a big ministry, you know, because I have my bachelor's degree or my master's
degree. I've earned it.
Yeah, in theology. And I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, here's your first ministry. Here's the toilet scrub brush. Start scrubbing the toilets.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. I mean, just start serving. Like obviously you're not ready. This is the thing. We can't skip over this. If you're faithful with the little, God will give you much. Mm-hmm. He doesn't give you the much until he sees that you're faithful with the little.
Yeah.
That's just how God works, and we can't bypass that step. And so it's with a humble heart, where do I need to serve, even if it's not my skill set, even if there's nothing. I remember working at a secular job that I knew God wanted me to work at years ago before the ministry. And every single day the alarm went off, I would hit the alarm and say, Jesus, only for you. Like I was some kind of like martyr, you know, going into the, I did not like the job. And I did that every day. Jesus, only for you. And one day the alarm went off and I said it again. Jesus, only for you am I going to go into that place of work. And the Lord spoke back to me that day. And he said, yes, that's exactly the place where I'm trying to get you. That you will literally do anything for me. No cost too great. No work too hard. No pain too great. It doesn't matter. Whatever I ask you to do, you'll do it. And oftentimes God cultivates that in us when I was baking the cookies, when I'm not domestic. Mm-hmm. And I, okay, Jesus, I'm going to bake these cookies like you're going to be the one eating them. you know, when I was cleaning the church and I'm wiping down the children's church table and praying for souls, praying that the children will fill, multitudes of children will fill that children's church room. That's a work that God has to do in us before he can entrust us with the much.
Yeah. I love how faithful is a word that accompanies time. And so when God tells us to be faithful in the little, it's not just one little thing that we do, but it's consistently little things that we do. Yes. And I think a lot of people get that out of context. You know, we think, well, I did this. I did that one small thing. And so now I need my next step and the pat on the back and atta girl and somebody see me. You know, I think we feel as though that we can strip the word faithfulness out of it. Yeah. But we've got to be faithful in the small, showing up. Consistency is a high value in the kingdom of God because it is an impartation of his character to us.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I love that.
Yeah, you're absolute. God is faithful, like you said, and it's and when we exhibit faithfulness, whether we feel like it, I mean, even with our kids, like my son would, like, maybe as a preteen or teenager, volunteer to help out at Vacation Bible School at our local church. Mm. And in the meantime, he gets another offer, a better offer. Somebody's having a pool party that night. Mom, I want to go to the pool party. I'm like, did you commit to helping out at Vacation Bible School? Yeah, I did. Right. Okay. Well, we are going to be faithful with what we have promised. Our word is our bond. We bank on the fact that the word of God is true. People need to know that our word is true, and you're going to be faithful to what you promised.
Yeah. Okay. Boy, you're talking my language right now. We're in preteen teen land, and I have those scenarios playing out daily in my house. Daily. Goodness. You know, as we're closing up our time together, I think one thing I really just want you to kind of expand on for our listeners, because I feel like this is important. You know, you've got a lot of women that are probably listening in that they say, okay, great. I see my calling. I see it. I've been faithful. I'm doing the little thing. I feel like I'm walking in humility. But what do I do when I'm not being seen, when I don't feel like I'm really living out my destiny? Could you expand for us as we close out today's show? What does it actually look like when a life is walking out their destiny?
Oh, that is so good. I'd love to answer that question. First of all, God sees everything that you do. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes there's a season of being unseen. God is, again, cultivating the character of Christ in us, the humility of Christ. Oftentimes he'll put us through that wilderness season where it seems like we're being unseen, but he sees, the Lord sees what we're doing. And we, listen, do not compare yourself to someone else. And this is where women get trapped. Well, if I can only accomplish half as much as Jenny Randall and Candace Payne, I will have made it in life.
What do you want off my to-do list today? I will give it to you.
Take it.
Don't women do that? Like, wow, if I could accomplish just as much as half as much as Lisa Bevere or as Priscilla Scharrer or whoever, you know, well, wonderful women of God. But no, God has called you, and you be faithful. You keep putting your hand to the plow. And I'm telling you, we don't live, obviously God blesses us while we're on this earth and Jesus died that we would have an abundant life, but our reward is in eternity. I mean, that's where the true rewards will be given if we were faithful. Think about the scripture, the words we want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. If you break that down, done means we did. We did what God asked us to do. We did it well, not perfect. None of us perfect. We do our best and God does the rest. Well done, good and faithful. We did it, a servant. We did it with a servant's heart. We were faithful as we did it. And God sees. One time, I'll end with this story. I was mentoring this young person when I was pastoring, pouring, huge call on this person's life. And this person just fell into sin. I mean, majorly. I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated. And I actually went through a season of grief that the Lord had delivered me from. But anyway, I remember the Lord speaking these words to me. He said, your reward will not be based on what they, let's say the souls that they didn't win. Your reward will be based on the souls they could have won had they actually applied what you taught them in your mentoring. In other words, our rewards are eternal. And so I want to say that to the woman that seems like she's in the desert, seems like it's lonely, seems like she's not being seen. You know what? If nobody ever sees the rest of your life, and they will, God will make sure that you get where you need to be from point A to point B. The Lord sees, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him, diligently serve him, and a rewarder of the faithful.
It's so good. It's so good. Well, obviously, our listeners, you're going to want to get your hands on her book, Her Calling, Dr. Jamie Morgan. And the subtitle is A Woman's Guide to Fulfilling Her God-Given Destiny. And like Jenny and both Dr. Jamie said at the beginning of this hour, 30 minutes rather, is that you're able to find in there things that go a little bit deeper, but then also some very practical things. Things that are, hey, I don't have a team of people helping me with this. This is me, myself, and I, and the Holy Ghost. And when we walk into a room, I don't know, what should I wear on stage? You know, do I need to get email addresses while I'm there? Is that something that you do? I don't even know this world. So if you want even the practicality of walking in a calling that you feel like God's leveling you up to a new season, I would encourage you to get this book. Where can they find this book for us?
They can get it on Amazon or anywhere books are sold. Her Calling, A Woman's Guide to Fulfilling Her God-Given Destiny.
Love it.
Awesome. Love it. And how can people stay connected with you? Where are you on social media?
They can find me at my mentoring website, trailblazermentoring.com.
Well, of course, that would Facebook. Be your website.
I'm on Facebook, and I'm trying to survive Instagram. I don't know if and any day now, like every day I go, do I continue on Instagram? But I am. I'm still
You're surviving.
Ooh, I'm surviving recently, Instagram. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels to no avail. But anyway,
I'm on Facebook and deleted Instagram. My Twitter, and now I feel that way about the TikToks, my friend. I feel that way about TikTok so much because I don't want to dance. I don't want to dance, you know.
Point and yeah.
Sums up.
Y'all it's stay sad. Connected this with Dr. Weird. Jamie Morgan. She has been such a joy to have on the show today and a fireball for us in our summer heat series. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You betcha.
Awesome. All right, my friends, we'll shut those ministry shoulds out the door and keep showing up. We love you. Until next week. See you later.
If you've been inspired to stop shooting yourself, head over to iTunes and write a review and just give us all the stars.
If there's one thing you're going to should yourself with, you should subscribe to our show so you don't miss an episode.
See you next time.